Welcome to Core 242 Podcast, brought to you by Core Community Covenant Church. Now let's dive into the Word of God with Pastor Max and Pastor Trey. So we are continuing our new sermon series on the Kingdom of God or Kingdom of Heaven parables that are mentioned in Matthew chapter 13. Last week we started this, and we talked about the first parable that he talks about good soil and the importance of us being a good soil. So that way we want you guys to have that kind of mindset of a good soil as we talk about these parables about Kingdom of Heaven. And actually, throughout, as we're reading the scriptures, as we're praying about the scripture, as we're going to sermons, listening to sermons on podcasts, whatever it is, that we want to be having those soil. And the four points that we shared last time is, one is that we need to consider and wrestle with the word. It's not, we don't just want to be hearers of the word, but we want to actually struggle with it, think about it, chew on it. What was the actual word for understanding was
consider.
To consider and like. Mm-hmm. The second point, we said that we should be rooted by the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit that's going to give us this understanding and knowledge. When we taught on the Holy Spirit in last sermon series, we really talked about how we need the Holy Spirit, because three of the sevenfold of the Holy Spirit was knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. So we have this amazing power in us to help us understand the word, understand the parables. Next one, we need to surround ourselves with other believers. We need that those people who can check us as we are like, oh, I saw this podcast, or I saw this reel, or I saw this point or verse, and this kind of spoke to me. And you need people around you to be like, well, that was kind of out of context. Or, you know what, I think that is biblically sound. We need that around us. And the last one, that as we start to understand and get wisdom about the word of God, that we need to bear fruit and teach and share the word with others. The ultimate point of when you are understanding the word is when you can teach the word. Because that you have wrestled with it, you seek the Holy Spirit, you checked with those around you, and now you can share with others that word. So those are the four things. So as we share with you today, we want you guys to struggle with the word that we shared. Seek the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. Give it this time that we have and later on to talk about it and share with others if it is something that really put an impact on your life and on your spiritual walk. So that's kind of where we're going to be. So we're going to continue our sermon series on Kingdom of God parables. And we're in Matthew chapter 13, but this is where we're going to be for this whole sermon series. And we're going to start in verse 24 through 30. So I'll read 24 through 30, which is the actual parable. Then Trish is going to read 36 through 43. That's where Jesus explains it. And it was kind of a struggle because we looked at it. Well, Jesus explained it. Why do we? That's it. Why? What else is there? So we're going to just kind of break it down a little bit more about this parable and go from there. But this is the parable starting in Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seeds in the field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in the field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in the bundle to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into a barn." And before Trish explains it to me, explains what it says, it's really interesting because I looked into this. This was a common thing that they did back then as farmers. Like if you had an enemy, they would do that. They would come in into enemy's field and throw bad seeds in there. And it was the seed that actually they were using is called bearded darnel plant. And the reason they used that one because it looks just like wheat when it was little. The bad part of it is now when the fruit comes out, you can tell them apart. The wheat has like one big stalk with fruit on it, and that's where the actual wheat is. This one has like little ones, but they still look kind of the same way. They still have the little pods and everything else. But the dangerous part is that it's poisonous. So if you don't look at it and you don't pull them out and just gather them with the wheat, now you're putting poison with the wheat. And enough of that bearded darnel plant, it can kill a person. So this was a normal thing, not a normal thing. Hopefully it wasn't a normal thing, but it was something that farmers did to each other when they wanted to sabotage them. So it was very interesting. So again, Jesus is speaking to farmers and relating to them, and they're like, oh, I know that enemy. I've been there, or I was one of them, right? So now let's go into the spiritual part of it. So again, this is verses 36 through 43 in Matthew chapter 13.
Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He answered, the one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one. The enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels. They will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the kingdom will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. So this is a really happy, warm, fuzzy picture, isn't it? it's a picture of, you know, there's several things we're going to break down. We'll first break down and repeat what Jesus explains each point is, each aspect of the story. But then there's a couple of takeaways that are kind of our learnings from this, right? But just as a reminder, so what happens here is Jesus is teaching in parables. And we talked about last week how when Jesus was teaching, in order to help distinguish the soil, he teaches in parables, and only those who wrestle with the word, right? We just went over this, are the ones who will begin to understand. So he doesn't just explain this to the entire crowd. He explains it to his disciples who actually pursue and ask, and they want to know the meaning. They understand that when Jesus is, he's not just telling nice stories, he's telling stories with a purpose. And they want to know what that hidden or secret, he even says at the beginning of chapter 13, he says, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. So he's unveiling things that have been true since the beginning of the world about the kingdom of God, but things that we would not know without him sharing. So he leaves the crowd, and in the house, the disciples come to him and ask him to explain. So the crowd would not have heard this. They only would have heard the story. Which, again, some people come, right, and they come week after week to church, or they listen, you know, they even read the scriptures, and it's just a story to them. It's not something that actually is meant to transform. It's not something that's meant to help them grow or give them revelation about spiritual things. But that's not what God has called us to do. He wants us to dig deeper, and he wants us to understand what the word means and what he's telling us. So going through, there's basically five things in here which he walks through, and he tells us what they all mean.
Go ahead. So we just read this. I just want to make sure we're all on the same page. When he says field, it means the world, the whole world. Sometimes people just thinking it's the church that's hearing the word of God, but it's the whole world that hears the word of God. So when he's speaking about this, it's the whole world and everything else. The seeds. So there's two kinds of seeds that fell, right? There's seeds sown in truth by the word, by the Son of God. And those are the sons of the kingdom. When they are wrestling through that word, as they seek the Holy Spirit, they become the sons of the kingdom. Those are the good seed, the wheat. And then when we talk about the weeds, those are seeds sown in lies. And those are sons of the devil. And they are both growing in the world, which is the field. the enemy, that it was plainly stated that it's the devil. There's nothing else. We don't need to talk about any other things. And those who are going to come and reap at the end, the harvesters, those are the angels. It's not us who are going to reap the church of the evil people. It's going to be the angels who God instructs to do so. So we wanted to be on the same page with that one, so that way we are not confused about these parables or the symbolism of it all. All right. So again, field is the world, seeds, the weed is the sown in truth, sons of the kingdom, enemy is the devil, weeds are sown in lies, sons of the devil, and those who are going to finally separate it are the angels sent by God and God alone, not us.
Yes. So we have about four takeaways that we can get from this story, four or five. The first one is that there is an enemy. Very often in church, we focus on the warm and fuzzy things of the word. We don't talk too much about the enemy. In some church traditions, there's a devil behind every bush. We don't want to become that extreme. But we also have to be honest about the fact that there is a real adversary. There is a real accuser. There is a real satanic and evil forces that are working and present in this world. It's, you know, when you first read this story, it's almost kind of like an enemy came and sowed weeds. Like, who does that? No, weeds just happen naturally. They're just something that happens in your garden. This farmer must have been delusional. But there isn't. There's a tradition that this would really happen. People do really do that. It could have even been that there was competition, and so they wanted the other farmer to fail so that they could have a corner of the market. There could be a million reasons. Maybe they just, you know, didn't like the way, you know, they looked. Maybe, you know, there could be a million reasons
why they forgot to say hi and God bless you.
They got offended by them, right? But in this case, it's not even necessarily about us, right? The enemy, remember, the enemy was the enemy of the farmer. And we are, in spiritual terms, we are the collateral damage, right? The enemy also wants to destroy us, but his primary enemy is God. Mm-hmm. He wants to destroy God's kingdom. He wants to infiltrate, right? Because he is in rebellion against God's kingdom. So there's full of evil and wickedness, but it is very intentional. It's not just something that we're imagining. It's not just something that happened by chance. There is a force out there, an enemy that is out to intentionally destroy us. And John 10:10 says exactly that. We looked at this when we talked about the I am statements, where Jesus says that he is the gate and then goes on about being the shepherd. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, right? But he says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. So we want to keep our perspective on the bigger thing, which is that, right, the farmer knows what he's doing. The farmer's in control. And the farmer, we already said, represents the Son of Man, which is Jesus. So we give attention to where it's due, knowing that God is all-powerful, God is sovereign, God is in control. But we also have to acknowledge that there is an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And he knows that by destroying us, he's sabotaging the kingdom, and he's hurting the heart of God, to be honest. God grieves over this loss. The next thing is in 1 Peter 5:8. It says, be self-controlled and alert. And if we don't acknowledge that there's an enemy, this is one of the things that we will miss on. The enemy will destroy us because we are not being self-controlled and alert. It says that your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And verse 9 says, resist him standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So this is, if we don't acknowledge that there is an enemy that's out there, then we will not be prepared for the attacks that will come. We will not be prepared for the fact that temptations will come, suffering will come. But if we acknowledge that, then we will be ready. The last verse under this section about the enemy is in John chapter 8, verse 44, where Jesus confronts the teachers of the law and those who are opposing him. And he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies.
Right.
We explained last week that the seed, right? This is a different parable, but the seed still represents the word of God and the truth. And even though the seed becomes, right, the believers, the sons of God, the worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. But those who follow the enemy, right, are also enemies of God. They're also our enemies. And they lie, right? There's false teachers. There's lies in the church, lies of the world. The world will have you pursue fame and fortune and all these things.
Right.
And those are the things that he says that these are the sons of the enemy, right? The enemy is a liar and the father of all lies.
Yeah. And just to kind of jump on that, because I really want to focus on this parable, what Trish said about God being God in this parable, is that when the weeds came up, the servants freaked out. What are we going to do? What happened? I thought you did good seeds. And the answer was, an enemy did this, he replied. And like, oh, should we pull them out? I was like, no, because while you're pulling out, not a big deal. I'm going to send the harvesters later on and they'll pull it out. Like, the control of it all. There was no freaking out in this farmer at all. He was like, no, I know who did it and I know what I'm going to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So I want us to hold on to that as we listen into this maybe enemy attacks and everything else, that reminder that God is in control over all this. So we are okay as long as we're in his hands. Amen?
Amen.
So the next point that we want to talk about is that it shows is that there's imitators. This plant, the bearded plant, and the weed, the weed and the weeds look exactly the same when they're starting off.
Right.
So there's imitators in this world for us, those who profess that they're Christians. There's imitators. There's many verses that talk about it. First one I want to talk about is Matthew 7, 16 through 20. And it talks about the importance of this all. It says, by the fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will be recognizing them. So there's imitators out there. There's people who are looking the same way as everybody else in the church, the same in the world. They walk around with a big cross on it.
Mm-hmm.
They have a little bumper sticker with the verses on it. But there's zero fruit. They're also the ones who are flipping people off and while they're driving in the car. And there's anger and bitterness and frustration. And there's no grace and mercy and love and care and kindness and self-control. None of that. So we need to remember, fruit is very important. Fruit is very important. There's not going to, if we don't see the fruit of the Spirit, there's no proof of who they are. Or it actually gives us a proof of who they actually are.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Are you in 2 Corinthians?
Yeah. Right. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15 says it pretty bluntly. It says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. And just like this bearded darnel plant, right, we have to be mindful of the fact that these imitators, right, these false teachers, these people who are pretending to be Christians, but they don't really, they're not submitting and following the lead of the Holy Spirit, they are poisonous.
Mm-hmm.
They can be poisonous to us. They are poison to the church. And if we dismiss it as harmless, it can be toxic to us as well.
Yeah, keep on looking at this in Jude chapter. And there's no chapters, but Jude verses 3 and 4. And this is Jude, he's speaking, who's the brother of Jesus, right before Revelation. This small book is in there. And it starts, verses 3 and 4 starts off, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. So this was the topic that he wanted to share with them about the salvation. He said, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among you. There are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. So again, there's people, he's warning over and over again. And when we studied the letters to in Revelations to the seven churches, we heard that a lot about these people who are crawling into the churches. But he says the biggest thing, that they have taken the grace of our God and used it in immorality. And that gives us such a check to, as we look into the world, as we see people using the word of Christ for so many negative things, for monetary gains, for just fame and fortune, and all to totally deny who Christ really is, who is sovereign, who is the Lord of Lords, who should be the one who's ruling their life, and all these other things that are in the world is ruling their lives. So we need to be sure. Again, I love that he starts off, I wanted to talk about the salvation. He wanted to rejoice of what's going on and what God has given us. He's like, let's pause because this is more important. I need to warn you guys because something's happening in our church that's going to bring ruin to it. And it's this imitators.
Right. And in Luke 8:17... it begins to tell us about what the outcome will be for these individuals. It says, and it's even a warning for us. It says, for there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. And in verse 18, he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Being mindful of the fact that what we see others doing, that doesn't necessarily mean, while we should hold each other accountable, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's our job to judge. But we know that they will be judged. We cannot always tell, right, who's an imitator and who's not. We can focus very much on the fact that these imitators pretend to be Christians. But part of the other reason why they look like Christians is because we as Christians sometimes look like the world.
Correct.
So we are not perfect. We likewise sin. The only one who can really discern and tell the difference, I think this is even why scripture tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Mm-hmm. The only one who can really tell the difference between the weeds and the wheat is Christ alone, is God himself, who can look and discern and be able to tell the difference between the two, which is just an interesting. I was on Friday, I had lunch with an old friend, and we were having conversation about our gardens, right? And we were laughing about the fact that our number one gardening strategy is neglect. It was pretty funny. We both have pretty nice gardens, but we don't really know what we're doing. And she was telling the story about the first time that she tried to have a vegetable garden, right? She took all this care, similar to the parable we talked about last week. She mapped out the area. She put a raised bed there. She got the most amazing soil, put in Miracle-Gro, tilled the soil so that it was just this most amazing, totally ready with nutrients. Then she took seeds and she planted, I think it was tomato plants. I can't totally remember, but I think it was tomato plants. And she planted them very carefully in the raised bed, started to water it, you know, was just tending to it very carefully. And over the next, you know, few weeks, she would come back and she noticed, like, oh man, there's like weeds growing here, right? And so she would plant the weeds, and then, I mean, she would pull the weeds, and then she was excited because some of the plants started to really thrive and really grow. So she began to, again, give them Miracle-Gro, take care of them and everything. And most of the summer went by, right? And these plants were just thriving, and she was so happy that in her first try, she was successful. And then she had a friend come over, and the friend took one look at her vegetable garden, and she said, those are the weeds.
No.
And so what she had been doing was plucking up the tomato plants, and she had been tending to the weeds. So she had a flower bed of extremely healthy weeds.
Oh, no. But
she didn't know what she was doing. So she said, well, you know, they're actually somewhat pretty. So she decided to just leave them for the rest of the season and let them grow, because instead of growing tomato plants, they actually ended up having some flowers. So just, again, it's a funny story, but it's just mindful of the fact that God is in control and he can tell the difference. We cannot necessarily tell, but we do need to try to be discerning about the fact that that there is a difference, right? We don't want to be, the farmer was wise enough to say, I'm going to let these things just grow together. And then at the end, I'll be able to tell which is which, because initially they looked very much the same, and not make the error that my friend made where she plucked up all the good stuff and actually left the weeds. So she had no tomatoes that year because she was just, you know, the next year she was better able to learn and figure it out. But it took an expert, right? It took her friend to come and tell her, you know, this is not right. Like, you've done the opposite of what you should be doing.
Oh, my goodness.
Which leads us to the next point. You know, the first point was that there is an enemy and the enemy is real. The second thing is to be mindful that there are imitators. The third thing, which we've already alluded to somewhat, is the fact that there will be judgment. Yeah. Again, we don't like to talk about this part, right? We like to talk about salvation and grace and God's love and all these things. But we try to dismiss, and there's actually a lot of Christians who will say that hell does not exist, that God is just going to love and accept everyone. But there is a very clear reality here that there will be judgment.
And thank God that we're not the ones who are judging.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's I think it's a very important thing to say, because exactly what the story talked about, we might hurt somebody. There might be somebody in your life. There's somebody who might be in your church who are actively seeking God, but they just don't look the right way. You know, that it's really saddens me when I do hear some people like in a motorcycle community, and they're like, "Yeah, I went into church with my tattoos and I had my leather on, and they just kind of stared at me and didn't really invite me." And I was like, "That is sad, because you don't know what this person, where their heart is. God can judge them, absolutely. Like, you need to know." So just being very thankful and watching them. Can we check by their fruit? Yes. Can we check them by the look? Absolutely not. And this is very important, because Samuel, the great prophet, learned about this when he was looking for a next king, right? In Samuel 16, when he's looking at the sons of Jesse, they're all big and strong, and he's like, yeah, this has got to be the right one. No, this has got to be the right one. And the Lord really checks them in verse 7. Says, the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things men look at.
Amen.
Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Mm. That is the power of where the judgment comes from. God looks at your heart. It doesn't matter how Christianese you are, how much funny verses have you memorized, how you look, how you dress, all that. He's checking your heart. You cannot fool God.
Amen.
God, there's going to be judgment. And we need to have that in our head, remembering that and letting God judge God. People are like, well, this person has this kind of sin. Do you think they're going to go to heaven? I cannot judge. I will not judge. I'm not saying, like, this is up to God. I know what the scripture might say about this, but at the end of the day, it's God who's going to judge them.
Yeah.
I cannot send anybody to hell.
No.
And neither any of us.
And Matthew 7:21-23 says exactly that. It's something that we've probably heard many times. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The only ones who will enter the kingdom are those who do the will of the Father, those who submit to the power of the Holy Spirit, and their lives are changed and transformed. I think there will be a day when we stand before the Lord and we're going to be very surprised about who actually is allowed into the kingdom and those who are not. And some of them might be people who truly did their heart. They sought the Lord. Their life may have still been a mess, but they had that personal relationship with the Lord. And then there's others who were playing church, who were being those imitators, who'd never really had that relationship,
yeah.
Right? Similar to, like, in my house, right? If someone comes to the door and wants to come into the house, they might not be the greatest person. They might be kind of a hot mess. But if I know them, I'll invite them in and we'll sit down at the table, maybe have a cup of coffee, right? But if the person who comes to the door, they might be the most amazing person. But if I don't know them, I'm not letting them into my house.
Right.
Mm, I might give them a moment and talk to them through the door, right? Mm-hmm. If they're a salesman for, you know, new electricity or solar power or whatever, they come to your door. Exactly. I might have a brief comment, but I am not letting them into my house because we do not have a relationship.
That's good.
And that's going to be the same thing that happens on Judgment Day. It is about, did you know the Lord? Did you have that relationship? And were you submitting to his will or were you not?
Yeah. And we need to understand these people who are imitators, their judgment is worse. Luke chapter 12, 47, 48 says, it talks about the servant who knows his master will and does not get, who knows master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things, deserves punishment, will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. So if you went into the church and you listened to the scriptures and to the teachings and you read the script, but you did not follow them, your heart will not change. You will be judged even more harshly because you knew better. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, you knew better. That's why they always says not any in the James, it says not everybody should be teachers. Mm. Because you will be judged even harsher, mm-hmm. because you should have known better.
Yeah.
That's the hard truth.
2 Corinthians 5:10 says this, really just kind of summarizes it really simply. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Mm-hmm. Just kind of puts mm-hmm. it out there and speaks for itself.
Yeah, and the last one we want to speak of this is Revelation 14:14-16. And this kind of goes with this parable really well. It says, "I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. And seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, 'Take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe.' So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested." Mm. So it's this image, just exactly how Jesus brought that parable about the harvesting time. And there's going to be time where those who are weeds and those who are wheat, those who are part of kingdom of God and those who are not part of, those who are part of the enemy, will be harvested. The time has come, and it's a really, I want to say scary, this whole sickle thing, mm-hmm. you know, it's a big one, but it really connects to the parable of the harvesting, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. So there's the last two things to just kind of wrap this together that we can really take away from this is that God is intentional, right? When you read through this parable, all of it from start to finish, from the fact that he chose the field to the fact that the Son of Man is sent as the farmer to sow the seed. The sown is sown in truth to be able to bring sons of the kingdom. He also waits for the harvest. All of it, he's watching and waiting and is very intentional. So we may feel like we want things to go a certain way or we don't understand why things are happening, but we have to rest in the truth that God is intentional and he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes we like to think that we would do it a different way or why is God not doing it our way? But we have to trust and know that from our perspective, right, we're just wheat. We don't have a first clue of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we might look to the left and to the right and want to judge, you know, the people who are around us. But only God is intentional and patient and he knows what he's doing. And then the last thing is that our fruit is what decides who we are, right? Our fruit will be the determination of whether we're the weeds or whether we're the wheat.
Yeah, I kind of liked it as we're preparing this sentence of the fruit shows the root. Mm-hmm. It kind of popped into my head, and I normally don't like little sayings, but it really spoke because it's really true. Like the fruit is going to tell you exactly what's inside, right? Yeah. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's kind of in the same way. So we just want to finish with these two verses. 1 John 3:18 says, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth." And then 1 John 4:7-8 as soon as I find it. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God.
Amen. And we have said this many, many times, but I just think it never gets old to drive home, which is the fact that the fruit that we're looking for is not that you're serving the church or you're a deacon or you're an usher or you're, you know, even sweeping or mopping the floor, although that might be part of what happens. It's not that you're casting out demons or that you preach amazingly, because we already talked about how some of those individuals are not going to make it, right? The fruit that we are looking for and trying to cultivate in our lives is love, as it says in 1 John, right? Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that we should be seeing in our lives. Not that we do them all perfectly all the time. There may be times when we are the impatient person in traffic, right? And we start to lose our cool. But what we should be seeing as fruit is that more and more in our lives, we are seeing these things, that we are more patient than we were yesterday or 5 years ago, that we have more joy in our lives, even if our circumstances create more suffering. And, you know, we have to be honest about that when we're struggling, but there is joy even when we don't feel happy, right? Mm-hmm. There's this anchor that as you're going through things, you know that there's hope on the other side. So this is the fruit that we should be cultivating in our lives. And again, we've said this many times before, but it should just never get old, that it keeps our focus on what is important, which is our relationship with Christ and not the works that we're doing. Mm-hmm. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, right? But it is a gift of God so that no one can boast.
Amen. Thank you for spending time with us during this episode. We pray that this teaching blessed you and brought you closer to understanding God. If you'd like to contact us, please email us at corechurch242@gmail.com. Until next time, know you are loved and covered in prayer.